श्रीमद्भागवतम चैप्टर 9 कैंटो 1 टेक्स्ट 11। पांडुपुत्रान् उपासीनान् प्रश्रय प्रेम संगतान् अभ्याचष्टानुरागाश्रयैर् अन्धिभूतेन चक्षुषा। पांडुपुत्रान् उपासीनान्। व्हेन ही सॉ दिस भीष्म पितामह And he saw the Panduputras, the Pandavas, close to him. Prashraya prema sangatan. Prashraya, he was overwhelmed by prema sangatan. Those who had gathered around him, he felt overwhelmed by love for them. Abhyachashta. He congratulated them. Anuraga shreir. Anuraga, with great affection, with great love, feelingly, ashrair, from ashru, the words, here the word is not from ashraya, it is from ashru. So ashrair, he got tears, andibhutena chakshusha, andibhutena, so overwhelmed by it, is chakshusha, his eyes. So, Bhishma had never wanted to fight against the Pandavas. Circumstantially, he had been forced to do so. And now, when he fought, when he saw the Pandavas had been victorious, he had been lying on the arrow bed in one side of the war field, and the warriors had been fighting and he had been getting reports. He had come to know that the Pandavas had been victorious, but he had not met the Pandavas. So just as whenever we see someone who is successful, whenever after they have achieved the success, we offer them congratulations. So like that here, the Pandavas are being congratulated by Bhishma Pitamaha. And it's not just a resentful congratulation that is being offered. That sometimes, you know, when one sports, when two people are competing and when one of them is defeated, say in tennis, one of them loses, the other person wins. So the loser is expected to congratulate the winner. And quite often, the loser is filled with dejection, with resentment, with frustration, and there is just a cursory handshake. And even if there is an appreciation for the winner, even if some appreciation is expressed, sometimes say at the end of a tennis Wimbledon championship or something, both the winner and the runner-up are expected to give speeches, especially the winner is expected to give a speech. Now for the runner-up to give a speech at that place is difficult because there are so much emotions of disappointment at the defeat. So it's not that the defeated person feels joy at the winner's victory, because that winner's victory has come at the expense of his defeat. So Bhishma Pitama has been defeated. He has been put in a painful condition, on the verge of death, and yet he's not just congratulating as a ritual. He's truly happy for them. Such is his love for the Pandavas that he wanted them to be truly. He wanted their well-being with all his heart, although he had been obliged to fight against them and their victory would mean imply his defeat. Still, he wanted to go through that. He wanted them to win, and now that they have won, he's extremely happy about it and he is overwhelmed with emotion and he's feelingly congratulating the Pandavas. And now he starts speaking after that. Text 12. Aho kashtam aho anyayam. यद्यूयं धर्मनंदनः जीवितुं नार्हत् क्लिष्टं विप्रधर्माच्युताश्रयः। The nature of empathy is that one feels and thinks from another person's perspective. So here he says, aho kashtam, aho anyayam, oh,
Kashta. Kashta is great suffering, great trouble, anyayam. And this trouble was unfair, it was undeserved. Aho kashtam aho anyayam. Yad yuyam dharmanandanaha. Yad yuyam. All of you, yuyam is a plural second person reference. Dharmanandanaha. All of you were sons of Dharma. That means here he is saying that actually only Yudhishthir is a son of Dharma. He is actually speaking. The others are sons of other gods. But he is primarily referring to Yudhishthir over here. And he is collectively referring to all of them by the designation of Yudhishthir. Because the other Pandavas were also dharmic. The other Pandavas were also very pious, virtuous. Yadyuyam dharmanandanaha jivitum narhat klishtam. Jivitum narhat klishtam. Jivitum means they didn't deserve to. Narhat klishtam. Your life, in your life, this literally it might mean you didn't deserve to live. What it specifically means is, in your life, you didn't deserve to experience such things. But so, it's like, you didn't deserve this. This shouldn't have happened to you. Jeevitum narhat klishtam. Vipradharma achyut ashraya. Vipradharma achyut ashraya. Ashraya is taken shelter of. Vipra is the Brahmanas. Dharma is the principles of religion. And achyuta is the Supreme Lord. This jivitum narhat klishtam can mean two things: that this didn't deserve to happen to you, especially because you were living a life sheltered by the proper guides of Vipradharma Achyuta. The other way of understanding it is the way Prabhupada puts it, that actually no one could have lived after having gone through the kind of adversity that you went through, but you were able to live because you took shelter of Vipradharma Achyuta. So Bhishma is evincing great empathy here. Although he is on his deathbed, although he is in great pain because of having arrows piercing through his body, because he is in an immobilized, incapacitated state. And to be in that state for a great warrior is quite mortifying. But rather than thinking of his condition, he is thinking of the Pandavas. And he is not just thinking about their present success and prosperity. He is looking at their past. And he is thinking from the perspective of the past and all that the Pandavas have gone through. What the Pandavas went through was listed earlier by Kunti Maharani. When she says that Vishan Mahagne Purushad Darshanath, that oh, there are so many dangers in our life. Bhima was poisoned, they were tried to be burnt alive. There's so many demons who tried to kill them. They lost everything in a rigged gambling match. Their wife was disrobed. They had to live in exile where they were exposed to sometimes the natural elements in their full fury. They were exposed to dangerous demons, and after that they had this huge, huge, fierce battle. So through it all, aho kashtam aho anyayam. So Bhishma is remembering what all dangers the Pandavas have gone through. Vishan Mahagne Purushad Darshanad Asat Sabhaya Vanvaras Kruchatha Mrudhe Mrudhe Aneka Maharatha Ashtutas Dronyastatashchasmahare Birakshitaha. Kunti Maharani is praying, listing all the calamities the Pandavas went through. So Bhishma is also recollecting those calamities, and he's saying, oh, how undeserving you were for such suffering. The first verse he speaks is an expression of intense empathy, showing that although he is in a terribly incapacitated condition, his thinking is not at all incapacitated. And he is thinking like a grandsire who cares for his grandsons. Technically, the Pandava is not exactly his grandsons because Bhishma was celibate. They were his grandnephews. But for all practical purposes, He had acted like their grandson, grandfather, and he was expressing his grief for their having gone through all these sufferings. And he further says, talks about their suffering. Now we may wonder why on a happy occasion someone needs to talk about the past suffering. Let's delight in the present happy occasion. But we will see that Bhishma is having a purpose in his mind. It is not that he's remembering the past sufferings just for the sake of dredging up some unhappy memories. We'll see his purpose manifest as his thought develops over the verses. So text 13, samstite atirathe pandav pruthabal prajavadhu yushmat krute bahun kleshan prapta tokavati muhu. Samstite atirathe pandav, that samstite means departure, atirathe pandu, the father of the Pandavas, the wife of Kunti. Samstite, when he departed, he was an Atirathi. He was also a great warrior. And he had also subordinated the world's kings and had brought a fabulous amount of tributes from all those kings back to the Kuru kingdom. And Bhishma had been so proud of him. He says, "You have illuminated the name of our dynasty by your heroic activities." Bhishma had told him at that time. So he was Atirathi, he was a great warrior. Pandav, but when he departed, Prutha Bala Prajavadhu. Prutha Bala Praja. So the word Praja means citizens, but Praja, that is Jayate, that which is born. It can also mean one's own children. Bala Praja, she had children who, she had progeny who were practically at that time children. Vadhuhu, his daughter-in-law, she was. My daughter-in-law is speaking. Yushmat krute bahun kleshan. So that time, first of all, for a woman to lose her husband and to become a widow, that itself is a great distress. There is a whole sense of bereavement and lifelong loneliness that comes to some extent because of not having a life partner. And on top of that, if the one's partner departs when one's husband departs when one has still young children, then the burden of maintaining those children also comes on the mother. Of course, she did not have financial concerns so much at that time. Not that she had to earn a living. She was in the royal family, and the needs of the Pandavas, of her sons and herself, were taken care of properly. But still, that royal comfort came at a heavy price. And that heavy price was the presence of the Pandavas triggered envy in the Kauravas. And whereas the Pandavas got royal comforts by living in the Kaurava capital, in the Kuru dynasty's palace, but they also became the target of the envious attacks, even murderous attacks of the Kauravas. And in this way, he says, even when the children, so initially there was anxiety even the children were small, but even when their children grew up, so yushmat krute bahun kleshan. Bahun kleshan, there are many problems, many troubles, many anxiety. Yushmat krute, from you they happened. Prapta tokavati muhu. Again and again, constantly prapta, she got tokavati. Tokavati here refers to when the Pandavas grew up. Normally, when children grow up, when mothers have very great anxieties when the children are very small, because the children are not able to do anything and they very much depend on the mother. But as the children grow up, at that time, usually, the children carry the burden of their mothers, of their parents. So the children relieve the anxiety of the parents by taking up responsibilities which the parents were taking up earlier. And the Pandavas were competent enough to do that. But when the Pandavas were burnt alive in the Varanavat forest. Now, Duryodhana had no envy specifically towards Kunti. Now, Kunti, for him, Kunti was not a contender for the throne and she was not a threat in any way. So, if Kunti had come alone and lived, Duryodhana would not have targeted the Pandu's family at all. But Kunti's sons were the threat for him, and whatever atrocities were targeted towards Kunti's sons, Kunti also was victimized by that. So thus, when the Pandavas were attempted to be burned in the Varanavat forest, Kunti also had to go and live in Ajnatvas practically. They had all had to impersonate as Brahmanas, and they had to live in relative penury. They had to live in relative poverty during that period. And Kunti, despite having been born and brought up as a royal princess, she adapted to that. So that, but at least she was with her Pandava, with her sons at that time, and that was her solace. But the second time when the Pandavas were exiled, after the rigged gambling match, at that time Vidura told Yudhishthir that Kunti has advanced in her age now. She will not be able to take the austerity of living in a forest. So let her stay with me. My wife and I will take care of her. So Yudhishthir had also been concerned about taking his aged mother with him to the forest, and he assented to Vidura's suggestion. And Kunti's head accepted that, but her heart did not accept. She knew that with her age, it will be difficult for her to live in the forest. Her head accepted that, but her heart, how can I be separated from my sons, especially when my sons are going to be in the forest and they're going to be in danger in the forest. And they would often not even get any news of how the Pandavas were. Sometimes some sages who would be in the forest, who would see me meet the Pandavas, and then they would come to the Kuru assembly, come to Hastinapur, and they would inform about the Pandavas' doings. And Kunti would sometimes hear, oh, Arjuna has gone to heaven. Now the Pandavas have gone to the Himalayas. They are going on a pilgrimage. They are living here. They'll... Occasionally she would get some news. So for a mother to know that her children are living in the forest and to have no news about their well-being, that was a terrible anxiety. So therefore, here we see Bhishma Pitamaha exhibiting empathy not only for the Pandavas, but even for the Pandavas' mother, Kunti. Although he has been a lifelong celibate, that does not mean that he doesn't understand a mother's heart. He is able to point out from her perspective that Yushmat Krute Bahun Kleshan. It was on account of you she had to go through various safti. Safti Prapta Tokavati Muhu. Muhu, again and again she had to go through sufferings. So what exactly is the point going on through this whole discussion? We'll see this as we move onwards. Text 14. Sarvam kala kritam manye bhavatam cha yada priyam sapalo yadvashe loko vayoriva ghanavalihi. Sarvam kala kritam manye. That I consider all this to be the result of time. Manye bhavatam cha yada priyam. This time went unfavorably to you. Sapalo yad vasho lok vashe loko. Sapalo, that along with the palas, pala, the lokpalas, the protectors, yad vashe loko, the planets along with their protectors, vayoriva ghanavalihi. Just as wind carries away clouds, similarly, everyone is carried away by the power of time. So in the first two verses, that is of his speech 12 and 13, Bhishma analyzes the sufferings the Pandavas and their mother went through. And now he is trying to give an analysis of the causes. So he lists various causes. First he says, Manye, I think, Sarvam Kala Kritam, this is all caused by time. Bhavatam Jayada Priyam, that this time has been unfavorable to you. Then the Bhagavatam, the concept of time being favorable or unfavorable, is talked about frequently. And the idea about talking thus is that the purpose, the focus is on recognizing that there are forces beyond our power which influence things. And to the extent we recognize the influence of such forces, to that extent we can avoid hitting our head against a wall. When the time is unfavorable, no matter what we do, things are not going to work out. So it is better to lay low at that time and tolerate and wait for a more favorable time to come. So Bhishma is saying that the suffering that you faced, I consider that they have become because of time. And then he gives the example that, you know, laying low against time is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of intelligence. Because Vayorivaganavalihi, he says that the clouds can do nothing when the winds come. The clouds just have to move according to the winds. And similarly, Sapalo Yadvashe Loko, the planets along with their rulers, Yudhishthira himself was a pala, was a lokapal, not in a technical sense. There are four lokpalas of the universe, but in the sense that he was also a king of a abode. They all have to be, they are all pushed by time, just as clouds are pushed by the wind. So, submitting to a higher power is the best way to conserve our power. When we understand that something is more powerful than us, then trying to resist that is not of much use. Better we conserve our power, and when that higher power's influence has subsided, then we use our power to do something constructive. Text 15. Yatra dharma suto raja gadapanir rukodaraha krishno astri gandivam chapam suhrit krishna stato vipat. Yatra dharma suto raja. So now he is continuing from the previous verse, and he says, I think this is because of time. You see, why do you think it is because of time? Why not some other factor? He says that what other factor can explain such adversity? Because from the Pandava's point of view, there is no reason for such atrocity. Yatra dharmasuto raja. The king was dharmasuto. He was the son of dharma, and he was not just the son of dharma. He was also himself very dharmic. So sometimes we may say that problems come because of our past karmic reactions. But he says there's no question of that. That actually when he was dharmic, he's the son of dharma, he's going to be exemplary dharmic. So it is not that he did anything adharmic. Then sometimes we may not do anything adharmic, but we might just be careless. We might be foolish. So for example, you know, somebody is working on a stove, and that person carelessly neglects to turn off the stove, and the kitchen burns down. Now, is that past karma or is it present karma? You could say it's presently, you are careless, because of which that happened. So, is it that the Pandavas were incompetent or bungling or careless? He says, no. Gadapanir Rukodaraha. They had strength, formidable strength in the form of Rukodaraha. Rukodaraha is Vruka Udara, one who had a ferocious appetite. Vruk is wolf. Udara means one who is wolf-bellied. That means one who has a huge appetite. Gadapanir. So he would not only, because of his huge appetite, he had a formidable body. Bhima was so powerful that in the forest, when the other Pandavas would get tired, Bhima would single-handedly carry all of them on his body. All the four Pandavas. And in the first exile, he carried Kunti. In the second exile, he carried Draupadi. Gadapanir. And this person was so powerful, he also was expert in fighting with a gada. So he had strength and he had skill. So he was not incompetent, he was very competent. And Krishna Astri Gandivam Chapam. And then there was Krishna Astri. Krishna here refers to Arjuna, who was also called as Krishna. One of his names was Krishna. because of his complexion being somewhat darkish. Gandivam chapam. Gandivam chapam means that he had his chapa, he had his bone named Gandiva. That refers not just to the fact that he had a glorious bow which he had got from the devatas, but also the fact that he himself was extremely skilled in using that bow. He was a formidable warrior.
Surat Krishna's Tato Vipat. And on top of it all, their Suhrut, their well-wisher was Krishna himself. And in spite of having all Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he is the person who can relieve everyone from all misfortune. And although they had Krishna himself as their friend, their well-wisher, still Tato Vipat. Despite that, they had Vipat, misfortune, adversity coming upon them. So what cause could be there apart for this, apart from time? If all the other factors that make for success were lined in their favor, they were dharmic.
The time is 10.
They were dharmic, they were strong, they were skillful, they were even devoted. And yet, they had problems. So why is that? It's a mystery. And he says, the mystery can be resolved only by considering time. And then text 16, Nayasya karhichit rajan puman ved viditsitam yad vijnasaya yukta muhiyanti kavayopihi. Nayasya karhichit rajan. Asya, of him, of that absolute truth, Karichit Rajan, whatsoever, Karichit Rajan, O king, Bhishma is referring to Yudhishthira, he is saying, O king, one cannot, Puman Ved Viditsitum, Puman is human being, people, we cannot know Veda, we cannot know his Viditsitum. We cannot know the plan of the Lord. Yad vijnasaya yukta. And vijnasaya, when we try to inquire about him, yukta. When people are engaged like this, muhiyanti kavayopihi. Even the wise people are muhiyanti. The kavis are also deluded. They cannot find out. So the ways of God are different from the ways of man. The ways of God are mysterious. And trying to understand them is can be extremely bewildering. This is a very important principle when we go through the course of our life, that certain things may happen in certain situations, and when those things happen, we just have to learn to live with them. We can't do much in trying to tackle them because they just can't be tackled. For example, someone gets a fatal disease, some relative passes away, some big adversity happens in life. Now, when these things happen, what can we do about them? We simply have to... What cannot be cured has to be endured. And we do know that everything happens under the sanction of the Lord. So why allow such things to happen? We don't really know. And we can't know. You know, humility has various aspects. One aspect of humility is bowing down. Another aspect of humility is, you know, correcting our opinion when we understand that that opinion is wrong. Another aspect of humility, especially when approaching God and subjects which are far bigger than us, is to recognize that we don't know and we can't know. We don't know is an acknowledgement of fact.
But there are certain things which, in the process, human knowledge has progressed in many ways in recent centuries. But despite the progress of human knowledge, there are certain things which still remain beyond the scope of human knowledge. So especially things connected with first things, origins and causes of that magnitude, they are very difficult for us to know. So humility in the intellectual realm and in the devotional realm means accepting that we can't know what God's plan is. Yad vijnasaya yukta muhyanti kavayopihi. That even the kavis, even the wise people get bewildered when they try to understand what is the plan of the Lord. And acknowledging this potential for bewilderment and thereby trying to deal with it, in the sense that living with uncertainty is an important aspect of a sadhaka's life. That we may not understand clearly or certainly why this is happening, but still living in faith amid certainty is what a sadhaka requires. And Bhishma will develop this thought further in the future verses, which we'll discuss in our next talk. Thank you.